Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Are in the front row, very awake. That's good. Appreciate you doing that. Keep feeding us that energy. We'll take it all day long. Am I the only one a little disappointed that Jeff over here playing the guitar didn't wear that hat today? Yeah. Okay. Maybe next time. I guess he had to steal it from his niece or something. Yeah, he had to steal it from his niece. All right. Well, you know, good. Maybe she should keep it. Anyway, we are super glad to celebrate Easter with you this weekend. If this is your first time at Easter at Bridgewater, you're not alone. I know that because it's my first Easter here. And so I believe you're in good company. I guess that time will tell on that. But we hope you do feel that you are right at home. Not that you feel comfy. We want you to feel welcome. And also want you to feel encouraged, but also want you to feel challenged. Because I think Easter represents something that we're going to look at today that is hugely significant for every one of us, whether we realize it or not. So I'm glad that you've decided to join us. Easter in church world is kind of seen as our Super Bowl. There's a number of reasons. Just for some reason in our culture, it's a couple weekends out of the year, Christmas and Easter, where people have to intentionally give time to church. In fact, we'll probably double our regular attendance, which is real cool. Also, why we have four services this weekend. But more than that, it's the fact that everything that we do and believe hinges on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything. Jesus changed everything at his resurrection. And Easter gives us that opportunity to celebrate the life and the hope that Jesus brings, but also helps us recognize the weight and the significance of what was canceled because of his resurrection on our behalf. And we're going to look at some of those things today. And I know I use the word canceled, and it has come to the forefront of our culture lately. I think 2020, I don't have to remind you that everything we knew and loved pretty much was canceled. Flights canceled, travel canceled, gathering public canceled, in-person school canceled, all of it being canceled for various reasons. Life changed drastically. But I think if we were probably to sit here, we could come up with a few things that we wouldn't mind canceling. I know that when you were a kid, the fact of there was probably fewer days better than when school was canceled for snow, right? We loved that day. I mean, unless you were a parent and you had to scramble to take care of your kids, that's a whole other thing. But adults, that's not too crazy. It hasn't changed that much. I know the meeting or the appointment that you just really didn't want to go to, when that gets canceled, come on, you do a little snow day dance, a little bit, just a little cheer. That you're glad you don't have to do that. A little bit of relief. And then cancellation has taken on a different form even recently. Social media-wise, for sure, that businesses and individuals are canceled because of actions or attitudes that are deemed socially unacceptable. Cancellation has become a big part of our culture. And again, if we were to brainstorm for a second, we'd probably come up with quite a list of things that we'd like to cancel. I mean, anyone want to nominate taxes? Anybody? It's come and due, so just to let you know, April's here. How about cancer? How about maybe a bad habit you just can't let go of? It's just you're stuck there. Let's just cancel those. I think maybe depression or despair would be something we'd cancel. It's for sure that we've seen, we've been able to see the impact of mental illness and struggle. And people with the weight of worry and fear, anxiety. It's just produced a depression and a despair, really a hopelessness that they just can't get away from. But the things that are weighing them down or they feel that they're stuck in. For 10 years of my ministry life and career, I was a youth pastor in Michigan, and one of the annual trips we would take every summer was a backpacking trip. Now, when I say backpacking trip, I really mean, like, take everything with you that you're going to need for the entire trip type of backpacking. Has anyone ever done that? I don't like it, but not my favorite trip, but we took it every year. I mean, if you didn't pack it, you didn't have it, right? That's just the way those are. And we had a student leader, a volunteer who had all the gear, had all kinds of gear, the backpacks, and he had this crazy algorithm that he figured out that he would put exactly the right amount of weight for each backpacker, because we're dealing with students, we're dealing with some adults, that kind of thing, and there's a lot of things, obviously their food and their clothes and their supplies for bedding and all that kind of stuff, but also the tents, the poles, the stoves, the propane tanks, all those things that you need for the group had to be divvied up. And he had this crazy algorithm. It was quite a science with a bunch of spreadsheets way over my pay grade, for sure. And one of the things that at the start of the trip, everyone had to come weigh in with and without the backpack. And adjustments were made. Things were left that weren't, you know, because you know, if you've ever done one of those trips, you want the lightest backpack possible. When you're trekking 8 to 10 miles in the summer heat, you don't want any extra weight. And one of the things that if you've, again, spend any time in student ministry, one of the things, there's things that happen on trips that are legendary and then they become tradition. And one of those things for us was the hiding of the log. Now, the log was a 2-pound, like, cured meat of some sort that wasn't accounted for in the algorithm. It was just slipped into somebody's backpack. That somewhere along the line, maybe the first time we took a break and we got the snack or they grabbed water, the first time we did that, they discovered they'd been carrying an extra 2 pounds. And so that person's goal then was to, as best undetected, kind of slip it into somebody else's backpack so that they would have it for the rest of the journey. Now, I'm going to say that for us, as we are backpacking through the forest of life, that we've been slipped some extra weight, and I'm not talking about extra pounds. That's a different message, but we've been slipped some extra weight. Some of it maybe we put in our own backpack, because some of it maybe is some worry that we put in our own backpack. Others, like maybe just anxieties and fears, maybe that was slipped in without us. Maybe somebody did something or did something, and we just carry that weight. It's just a little more. We go through life carrying this extra weight that I really don't need. And ultimately, maybe you're here this morning that you're carrying some weight that you didn't even know about. Carry a weight that ultimately we're all born with, and it's big, and it weighs us down. In fact, the Bible talks about it even as kind of imprisoning us, and that's the weight of sin, and that's the weight of death. And that's why Easter's important. That's why today the representative of the resurrection of Jesus, and for us to remember what that canceled for us, because Jesus, because of the resurrection, Jesus canceled the things that imprison us. He canceled those things. That's why he came. When Jesus first came onto the scene, he said this about himself. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. The blind will see." And I know that if you read the Gospels or hear anything in the Gospels, there were people who are physically blind that were healed by Jesus. But if you continue to read at various parts in the New Testament, he talks about how spiritual blind could see. I think we fit in that category. "But the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus came to cancel things that hold us prisoner. And I realize that in a room this size on a day like today, that there's people in here that they're not too sure about this church or this following Jesus thing. And that's okay. So I wonder if I could just real quick walk through some of the basic things that we believe as Christians. The basic things that the Bible teaches us. First, we believe that God made everything that exists. He spoke it into existence, including people. And then he gave those people work to do. And work wasn't a curse. No, work was good. And so was the relationship between us and God. But it didn't take long for people to mess that up. And sin entered the world. And sin had consequences. Death and decay entered the world. And brokenness and separation entered. The relationship that was good between us and God is now broken, is now separate because of sin. But God didn't just blame people. He didn't just punish people. No. He made a way so that relationship could be restored. He sent Jesus, his son. And Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. But then he faced a gruesome death on the cross. Ultimately, the death that our sin deserved. And when everything seemed dark and hopeless, Jesus hanging on the cross, then buried in a tomb dead. Oh, his resurrection. His resurrection changed everything. In fact, Paul, a former skeptic and really persecutor of Christians, ended up encountering the risen Jesus and began believing in him. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 through 11. He says, "O death, where is your victory?" He's going right after the thing that weighs us down. "Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so really, for the rest of the time, I just want to highlight three things that the resurrection gave us victory over, that we don't have to carry the weight we don't have to carry. And the first one is this. The first one is death. Death hangs over all of us, and I understand that physical death is a reality, and it's pretty undefeated. But the resurrection, you see, the resurrection canceled it, because there's something more than just death, and it's over. It's death, and there's something bigger, and I love the simplicity that John 3:16 states it in. And it says this, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son," that's Jesus, "that whoever," or that everyone, you, me, the people you passed on the way here, the people you're going to have lunch with later today, everyone who believes in him will not perish. And that's an interesting word, perish being death and separation from God forever. But instead, he did the opposite, that they might have eternal life. Life with him forever. So death was canceled by the resurrection. And there's something else. Not only does Paul say that death was canceled, but also sin, the power of sin. Oh man, we know this weight all too well. We know when it shows up in pride or ego for us, or selfishness. We see it in other people. We feel it in other people. Feel it from other people. We've been hurt by other people. We hurt people. Sin breaks relationships. It breaks trust. It separates, and it certainly separated us from God. Yet the resurrection was proof. The resurrection was proof that God made a way for it to be restored, a relationship to be restored, because he wasn't dead and gone. He came back to life. So our deepest problem, and only Jesus could be the one to give us victory over those things. Sin was also canceled. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14 says this, "You were dead in your sins because your sinful nature was not cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took away it, nailing it to the cross." And I love verse 15. "In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them." Will you and I be tempted again? 100%. Will there be times when we'll still sin? Probably. But it doesn't have the same authority anymore. The word "disarmed" is my favorite word in this. That Satan has the power, and he wants to do all that he can to distract you, to get you to sin, to keep you away from a relationship with God that you should have. But the fact is, doesn't have the authority anymore. He doesn't have the same weight, the power that he had before. He's been disarmed because of the resurrection. And lastly, we just talk about despair and depression. Those weights, that those have been canceled as well. Jesus tells us this truth in John chapter 16. He says, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart. I have overcome the world." I wish I could tell you. I wish this morning I could say, listen, if you would just come to faith in Jesus, that you will never feel depressed anymore. That there will be no struggles for you. I wish I could say that. Truth is, Jesus doesn't say that. He's not promising that. He doesn't promise there's not going to be things. You still have a backpack that you're slugging through life. There's still weight that we bear. But it doesn't have the same power it had before. There's a different kind of hope that we can live with. And I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead." Now, we can live with great expectation. There is a different kind of hope that we can live to. When we wake up in the middle of depression, when we wake up and just feeling overwhelmed by it, we can know there's a different kind of hope. Why? Because the resurrection showed that that stuff's been canceled. The power over us has been canceled. There's a different kind of expectant kind of hope that we can live in. So what does that mean for us? I think it means that we can start unpacking. I think we can start taking the weight that we weren't meant to carry and surrendering it over to God, the God who canceled it already. I think it means the resurrection was a little bit more significant than maybe we thought. That the Jesus who died and rose again for us has that much more power in life. That he and he alone is the only one who could cancel those kind of things. And so a question I have for you, the question I have to ask myself is, am I willing to surrender? To give over that weight that I was never meant to carry? It's possible. And I would love for us to listen to Jessalyn's story as she shares about some emotional weight that she was carrying before she surrendered it to God.
Growing up, I would say I was not really raised in a Christian home. In general, my parents not being together, that was difficult. My brother and I were a little bit older, second, third grade, and that's when we started attending church. And it was great, you know, they had a van that would come out to the house and get us. And that was amazing. That was a godsend that we had church in our lives at that time. I still remember it, clear as day. We were in the van and we were driving back to the church and they had asked, you know, "Have you ever been saved?" Had no idea what that meant. I still didn't really know what it meant completely when I said I wanted someone to pray for me so that I could be saved. Even though I prayed and I meant my prayer, I didn't fully surrender my life to Jesus. You know, I had believed in God for as long as I could remember. You know, I've craved that relationship, but I didn't really understand it. Getting married to Brandon, that was the first real promise that I had really ever made to God. I wanted God to be the foundation of that. And it was almost kind of like the blind leading the blind. I still hadn't given my heart to God. I still hadn't fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I was not reading my Bible. I had stopped going to church. Depression and anxiety is something that I struggled with my whole life, really. I can remember having dark thoughts and feelings, even as a child. When my third son was born, I think it was March of 2020 is when the world, so to speak, shut down. I really feared for the life that I was raising my children in. I felt really, really alone. I felt like no one understands what I'm going through. The hold that the enemy had on me, it was like a weight. It was like this heavy sandbag that I was carrying every single day. And it stole my hope and it stole my joy. And, you know, it took me away from being present with my kids. And meanwhile, everybody in my life, nobody has any idea what's going on. My husband, who I live with every day, no one has any idea what's going on, the storm inside of my head. It's true what they say, that the most dangerous form of depression wears a smile. Honestly, I don't even know how I got up out of bed every day. The darkness had consumed me. I would drop my second son off at preschool and I would go out to eat somewhere in town with my youngest son, Luke. I didn't even trust myself to go home because I was afraid if I went home that I was gonna end my life. And I know it's so easy for people to say, you know, how could a mother do that to her children? Or, you know, how does someone get to that point? But when you are so consumed by that darkness and you feel like there is no hope, you'll do anything. For me, I had convinced myself at that point that the only rest was to pull the trigger. I remember one night specifically, I had had enough and I went to, I was gonna end my life. And from the top of the staircase to the bottom of the staircase, something changed. I just fell to my knees and I cried. And that was the first time I really, really cried out to Jesus aloud. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, I don't want to be in control anymore. I need you to take control. I need you to do this for me. I don't want to have these thoughts anymore. I know I shouldn't have these thoughts, you know. And I begged him to save me in that moment. From then on, I would start waking up in the morning. Before the kids woke up, I had bought a devotional. I knew that I needed to be closer to God, not just conveniently closer to God when it, you know, a holiday or when something great in my life was going on. It was like something just started stirring inside of me. Basically, I had this appetite, you know, for more. And one morning I came to it, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It was like a light went off inside my head. I prayed again and I sobbed. I can't even tell you how many times I reread the verse. I read it over and over again. I prayed to God and I said, I get it now. I see now. And I can honestly say that that was the moment that I was reborn. The biggest thing I could stress to people is it's not this one-time moment. If you love Jesus, it doesn't mean that things will be easy, but you've built a firm foundation. You have something to go on through life. Where in my darkness, I thought that pulling the trigger is what was going to give rest for my soul. The gospel, in turn, is what gave rest for my soul. You know, I would oftentimes be really down on myself that I didn't have this, you know, awesome career or those feelings of feeling very lost, like what is my purpose in life, basically. And I understand now that God gives all of us different gifts. He uses all of us in different ways. And I think one of the strongest gifts that He's given me is motherhood, you know, bringing these children into the world and just teaching them to love Jesus. My name is Jesselyn, and I am here to make more and better disciples of Jesus.
You know, one of the fascinating things I think of that story is that looking at Jesselyn, you would have never known the weight she was carrying. Certainly not to the extent she was carrying it. But God did. Met her on the stairs. At a really low moment. He was available. She needed to surrender. And the resurrection of Jesus this morning means that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, where you've been, even where you're planning on going, the weight that you're carrying, there is hope, a different kind of hope, and that's the hope in a risen Jesus. So my question for us this morning is, will we surrender to Him? I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, but before I do, I wondered if you would take out this card that was on your seat, the Jesus Changes Everything card, and flip it over, and you can grab a pen. There's a pen right there in the seat back, I believe. Just want to walk through some very, very practical next steps that you could take because of the truth of the resurrection. The first box there says, I have some questions that I'd like to speak to someone about. And if that's you, we would love to follow up and help answer any of the questions you have, certainly faith questions. And the truth is, the next box kind of represents a great group that we have, a great place for you to ask those kind of faith questions. It's called Starting Point. The next Starting Point class is actually next Sunday, 10:45 service. You can come to the 9, go to the 10:45 Starting Point group with a bunch of other people that are asking the same kind of questions. It's a safe place to do that, but go ahead and check that box if you're interested in starting where we can reach out with some information, a reminder that it's happening next week. That third box there, though, just take a second with that one. It says, I'm ready to take my next step and trust Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin. if you're here this morning and that's you, we would love nothing more than to celebrate that with you, to talk you through further what that means. And you can certainly check that box, but I wonder if you would even pray something like this along with me right now. If you might say, Jesus, I've lived my whole life my own way, opposite of you. Certainly felt the effects of sin, even though I didn't maybe even know what it was. But now I've heard what you've done for me. And I trust your death and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. Lord, please help me to follow you from this point forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you check that box, we'll love to get this from you. We'll go over how you can turn that into us in just a minute. But there's one more box on there, and that box is for people who would consider themselves Jesus followers. You've already surrendered your life that way to Jesus, but you're still carrying some things you really shouldn't. It says this: today I'm ready to surrender some things over to Jesus that have been holding me down. And I wonder if that's you, that you would be willing to not just check that box, but you might pray something like this with me as well. You might pray, Jesus, I'm so grateful that you are bigger and better than all of my sin. Lord, you know that I've been weighed down by some things that I need to let go. So I confess those to you and commit those to you this morning. Please help me to live a expectant, victorious, free life that you offer because of the resurrection. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed again, any one of those, you've checked any one of those boxes, we would love to be able to follow up with you. And I'm going to ask you to do something in a minute. It's going to be awkward, but that's okay. You know why? Because we're here together. Let's be awkward. I'm going to invite you to come down as a sign of surrendering to ask more questions, surrendering to attend a group, the Starting Point group, but or even bigger, a sign that you're surrendering your life over to Jesus, or a sign that you're giving some things over that you should have, and just placing the card on the stage when the band plays the final song. Or you can do it on the way out. You can do it when everyone's not looking, if that makes it easier for you. I guarantee people would love to let you through to come do that and to celebrate those things with you. And if, again, you can also just give it to one of us, come hand it to me, I'd be glad to have a conversation with you. We just want you to be able to live a surrendered life because of Jesus. So let's pray as the band comes forward. Dear God, Lord, we ask that you help us to live surrendered lives to you, whether we knew it or not before we came in. Your resurrection changed everything. We are grateful for that. We are honored that you loved us enough to do that for us. I pray that we'd help us to live surrendered and free lives in you, because there's freedom in your name. And so as we close and we sing about that, I pray that you'd be honored by us, but you'd help us not just to honor you with our lips, but with our hearts and lives as well. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.